You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hell, I suck at dating. With Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And we've got Don Dais, who's joining us, who actually writes books about having children, the first and the second. And even if you want to run a marathon, she can give you a little bit of input on that, too. Don, I know we kind of talked a little bit at the top of this, but fill us in on everything you've been doing, because the main reason you're here was to talk Jared through a lot of the parenting crisis that he's facing right now. But fill all the listeners in on what you help people with.
I've written a series of books called The Shit No One Tells You. I started off writing a book. I knew that I wanted that to be the title before I knew what the book was actually going to be about. It was about a week after I had my first baby, and I was like, I know what my next book is going to be, all the no one tells you about babies. So I wrote that one, and then I wrote about toddlers and baby number two and pregnancy. And so that's kind of been my jam for a little while.
So how often does it happen where you get the title before you get the meat of the book?
Very rarely. that title just sort of hit me like 85 times a day in the first couple of weeks. So, and there's often you'll come up with the title and then the publisher will want to change it because it just doesn't like work for marketing or whatever. Uh-huh. And I was like, we're writing this into my contract that this is the title of this book. And I promise you that it will sell, because every parent, like those first few weeks and months, are like, oh my God, there's so much no one told me. So
there's so much that no one told us.
Yes. Yes. I'm not sure that you can actually be, I mean, people can tell you all of it. It's something about being in it that it just all becomes very real, really, really, really quickly. So yeah, that's what I kind of wrote for that time.
Well, it's funny too, because there's that very popular child's book called Everyone Poops. And then there's also now this very popular adult book called The Shit That No One Tells Us.
See, full circle, right?
It's full circle, very number two centric baby talking books.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what inspired you to write this first book then? This isn't your first book.
And no, my first book was about training for a marathon if you're a lazy person. So I basically just to do like ridiculous things, and then I write books about them. So parenting was far more ridiculous than a marathon, but there's a lot of similarities, I guess.
Having a baby is in a lot of ways like a marathon, I would imagine, right?
It's much longer than a marathon, you know, 18, 20, 30 years. So yeah, the marathon went by a lot quicker than this baby making thing has.
So you're just like, you're a serial author in a lot of ways then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, so for Jared, obviously, since he's not here, which is unfortunate because he's the 95% of the reason why we wanted to have you on as a guest to impart some of your wisdom for him. What is the that no one tells you about parenting? I mean, obviously, save for, you know, we want to buy your book, we want to read it, like, don't spill too many details. But like,
I think you know, I wrote my pregnancy version of the book and I included partners in it because I would get a lot of emails from dads who read my first book because, you know, I think they were attracted to the word shit on the cover and they're like, this is awesome. I'm all in. And it didn't speak really to the partners as much as the moms is kind of like surviving, but it was really cute because a lot of guys would reach out to me and they wanted to like figure out how to do it and how to help. And so my pregnancy one that I wrote, I brought in the partners and kind of gave advice to them. So, you know, for him, I think I wrote a list before I got on the call with you guys. And my number one rule was, as a partner, never appear well rested. Like, and then also never complain about being tired. Because even if you're going to work and she's staying home or whatever, you're never as tired as she is. And for the partners, I think, you know, if they're breastfeeding, it's really important to get up when that baby cries and like, just misery loves company. I had a friend that would get so mad at her husband. She'd be breastfeeding. Like, what's he supposed to do? He can't do anything. And he'd fall back. He'd fall back to sleep. And she'd just be like, this guy. And she'd be staring at him like, how dare you? And so, you know, my partner got up every time that baby cried and like got the baby changed and like hand the baby to me and like got me some water and then went back to bed. So we're all suffering. Like everyone needs to suffer together. So that's kind of like the biggest piece of advice for partners is like, just go in there and, you know, suffer with the mom, basically.
Well, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, but how much did you draw from personal experience for writing the book?
Oh, it's a lot of my personal experience, but in all of my books, I bring in other people. Like I have my moms on the front line. So I have all these different moms that I know, and I would kind of pose all the questions to them as well. Cause there's just no one way to do it. And something that works today is not necessarily going to work tomorrow with your kids. So it's always good to have lots of options and ultimately just know that like we're all winging it and you'll figure it out. You'll figure out your baby. You're just kind of getting to know each other. And, you know, it's just a lot of trial and error, especially in the beginning. Well, the whole process actually, beginning, middle, and then it's all trial and error.
And then also during COVID, it's like a whole nother added stress and aspect to it all. And his brother, the first Unglert to have a baby. So his brother's having a baby, I think, next week or
not
this even week.
He's not an Unglert, but he's a Bell. But I'll be an uncle for the first time. Yeah. So I have to send this podcast episode to him to be able to prepare for it. February 8th is their expected due date. So is there any guidance in the book for being a good uncle?
No, I would say being a good uncle, you want to give them as much space as you can. Being a good, like, supportive friend or uncle is, you know, kind of feeling out how much you really want to go and like see the baby with COVID and everything. Now that's a whole thing, but just give people as much space as they need at the beginning and try not to like crowd them because it's super overwhelming. And if you're nearby or if you're not nearby, you could send them like a meal, DoorDash or something like that. Be supportive, but like, don't show up unannounced. Don't like push yourself on them because they're just like barely hanging on usually.
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned that too. Cause I was staying at my brother's house for like a week up until a week ago. And he was like, Dean, you got to get the hell out of here, man. Like we have a baby coming on in a week. Like we just need to like prepare for it. And we just like, can't have you staying with us anymore. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I totally understand where you're coming from. But part of me was also like, oh crap. I can't believe I'm getting kicked out of my brother's house right now. But I fully agree with where you're coming from. I'm trying to give him as much space as I possibly can. Yeah. How about for us? So Caitlin and I, we have no children, but that's where I was going with that one. So we bicker quite a bit about our parenting styles for our new dog. And I'm sure obviously having a dog child and having a human child are incredibly vastly different things, but I'm sure there's a lot of similarities too. Like, what do you say when, maybe parents have two different parenting styles? Like one is maybe like way too attentive and the other one's way too lax. Like, is there any like type of balance they're able to find there?
I think it's great to have a pet in advance of having a kid. Cause it kind of gets you used to, instead of being these two independent people, you have to work together on this project. And ultimately that's what kids are. They're a group project and you have to get on the same page. At least you have to pick sort of one route forward. And there's a lot of compromise involved in that. And having a dog is a good first step, you know, like, because it's really not anything like having a baby, but there are compromises, there's conversations, there's, you know, you both are caring for one thing instead of being two independent people. So, you know, there are similarities in that regard, but you know, you can't leave a kid in a crate and then like go out
right.
the night. It's really looked down upon. So it's not quite the same, but I do think it's a good first step, because I remember I got a puppy before I had a baby, and it was just like mind boggling to me, the lack of freedom I had once, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to go home. This thing's going to, cause I was living in a condo. So I'm like, this thing's going to like poop all over my house. You know, like I just had so much freedom. And then that animal brings you back to like responsibility. Right. And then a kid is just, you know, that times a million, but yeah, it's a good first step for sure.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source, and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, too, that having a child is kind of like the penultimate group project from college or high school or whatever it is. I hated group projects. So I really hope that's that maybe in my older age, I've gotten better with them. But so is there like generally one thing that newborn parents disagree on most? Like, is there one thing that you've seen in, I don't know, your discoveries or your learnings that like people tend to like butt heads on the most about?
I think it's just like the sleep deprivation makes you into an insane person. And so you just like you fight over the stupidest stuff, and you just have to be like, you have to give each other a lot of grace because you are not sleeping. You're not bathing. Like it's dark days. And so you can start fighting over just the stupidest stuff. And you're having these arguments and whispers because you don't want to wake the baby. You're like, and like, it's just this like weirdly psychotic time. And so you're usually not arguing over big stuff. It's little tiny stuff. And so heaven forbid someone knock on your door and like make that dog start barking when the kid is sleeping. Oh, it's over. Like you're screaming at each other, screaming at the person, you're like screaming at the dog. And it's just this super heightened time. So I think for guys, it's really important for them to get in there and learn and make time with their kid. Cause like, I had no idea what to do with the baby when I had a baby, and I would constantly like hand the baby off because I'm like, I don't want to break her. I don't want to break her. I know she's sort of like, head's bobbling everywhere. And so nobody knows what they're doing. You're not going to break the baby. So like, you need to get in there. My partner would give the baby a bath every night, and just because I was breastfeeding. And so I would go have my time alone, and they would connect with the baby, do a feeding every once in a while. Like, you, none of us know what we're doing. So you kind of have to get to know the baby. You gotta, you know, do the learning curve early and often, because it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. So I think the biggest thing, especially for partners, is to like really show up and show that you're trying. Even if you're failing, just like show that you're trying and help out around the house and contribute, and don't appear to be well rested. That's number one.
Don't tell the other parent that you're well rested.
Don't appear to be well rested.
Don't appear to be well rested.
And if mom is not showering, nobody's showering. Like,
okay,
that's been an argument before. If like someone walks in, they've showered, you're like, when did you have time to shower? What's like, it's like this crazy new life that you're leading that heaven forbid you take a time out of your day to shower and your partner hasn't had that opportunity and all hell can break loose. It's just little stuff.
And how long does this last for? Like, how long does that stage last for?
it lasts for a while. Like, I don't want to like make anybody too scared, but once you get out of like the toddler years, my kids are 8 and 10 now, and they're great. I think probably maybe 6 and 8, we really hit a stride where
6 years.
Well, but there was two of them, so there would be a lot of like, you know, just poking at each other and being brats together. And so now they're just fine. They're good kids, but 3-4 year olds are not the funnest. So once you get past 3-4 years old, they kind of get into, they become little humans. They're not quite humans until that age. And there's a lot of emotion they don't know how to process. There's a lot of screaming by them. You're living with like an insane person. So you're like, why are you screaming? They don't know why they're screaming. And then everybody's super stressed out. But as far as partners go, you kind of get into your groove early and figure it out. Hopefully by year 3 and 4, you're not still fighting over the same stuff because you figured it out, you know?
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned breastfeeding earlier too, how like when the mom is breastfeeding and the dad can't really do much about it, like the dad goes off and goes to sleep. Is there anything that the dad can do to like help either the breastfeeding process, or like, let's say the mother is exhausted and the baby is hungry. Like, is there anything like the husband can do or the father can do in that case? Like,
you can always, it just kind of depends on the mom as far as what she wants to do. You can always encourage her to pump between feedings and freeze the milk, and then you can give a feeding. If you can give like one feeding a night, you'll be a godsend. And also, just if that's not a possibility, then do the dishes, do the laundry, because stuff like, for some reason, this little thing makes more laundry than seems entirely even possible. But they're just like, you put something on and they're like, you're gone, and you're like, all right, next thing. So do the laundry, do the dishes, do things to make it easier in other areas. And like I said, keep her little like breastfeeding section well stocked, water, magazines, iPad, like make sure she has everything when she has, because it's, you basically are just like chained to that chair because you have to breastfeed this kid for hours, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, and insist on trying to take a feeding now and again if she'll pump, and like, or formula feed if you guys want to formula feed now and again.
Yeah. Well, Jared, I hope you're listening to this because it sounds like a lot of very good advice. It sounds like your firstborn was a girl. Was your secondborn also a girl?
Boy.
And girl. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. So obviously it's different because you had the boy after already having the girl, but did you notice a difference in like the early stages with either the boy or the girl?
I noticed difference in early stages in me because I was a mess with my first one. I was just like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was so nervous. I was so wanting every stage to come quick. Like, I just, when is she going to sleep? When's she going to do this? And I was just like so crazy and so worried about something bad happening. And I didn't know what to do with kids or babies. Like, they're just completely foreign. So when my second came, I was just a completely different person. And he was a different baby. He was a little easier, but I'm not even sure if he was easier. I think I was just calmer. I wasn't. Yeah. If he didn't sleep, I was like, well, you'll sleep eventually. You're going to fall asleep here? Good. You're staying there. That's where you're staying. When I'm not moving you, I'm not doing like, I wasn't trying to follow any rules. I was just like, we're just going to roll with it. And so I'd be up all night with him, but I wasn't like stressed out about it. I knew eventually he'd sleep and everything would eventually happen. So I was just much more present with him because I wasn't as nervous. I knew everything would be okay.
Less nervous, more callous. You've been through the Ring of Fire before, so you know exactly what to expect and you could deal with it no problem.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're different babies, they have different issues, but like even things like breastfeeding, I could do it the second time. It wasn't this learning curve. I knew how to operate a baby. He was different, but it wasn't as difficult. And they are very different humans. It's very fun, the difference between a boy and a girl. My boy and a girl. There's other people that have boys and girls that aren't, you know, your standard boy and girl, but she's just a sensitive little ball of love and light. And he's just like, you know, fart jokes and like it, video games. And it's just so funny because he's such a sensitive boy, but also he relies heavily on fart jokes. And that's just
nice. I mean, as a 30-year-old man, I still rely pretty heavily on fart jokes. So I see where he's coming from.
The stuff he throws out, you're just like, all right, well, that's just born in. That is just born in. But he entertains me constantly. So yeah, it's fun.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Full disclosure, I'm not really too keen on having kids, but Kaylin is. And so I feel like I've been asking a lot of questions. I want her to ask some questions now.
I mean, my biggest thing, I don't know. I feel like you asked them all. I also don't know if I want to have kids. I just did a fertility test to see if I can even have them, but found out I'm fertile enough. Maybe, potentially.
Fertile enough.
Step one. I don't know. I just have such a fear of children and like hearing all the horror stories. But obviously, like, they do bring such a light into your life. But I'm just terrified. And hearing these stories, I'm like, will we ever sleep again? Will we ever be able to lead normal lives again, have sex again? It's like all sorts of questions.
How old are you guys? Early 30s?
He's 30. I'm 26.
Oh, you're still very young. Yeah. I mean, no, like, it's there's no rush, you know, it's not like you're 40 and you're like, oh, I got a ticking clock here. I mean, you have plenty of time to, I think I had my second when I was 35. Yeah, there's pros and cons to doing it earlier and later. When you do it a little later, like I did, you're very conscious of what you're missing out on because you had this amazing life before. And then it's kind of, but like I said, we all settled in, you know, like I always tell them they were a ton of work. And I always tell them, like, I had to give up caffeine and sushi. And that's about it. Caffeine and sushi were the big things I had to give up to have them. And they were like, oh, because they know that's like my whole life. That's 95% of my diet is caffeine and sushi. Yeah. So I always tell them, you know, the things I gave up, I didn't sleep for 5 years. And they know I love that too. And then I'm like, but you guys are worth every second of it. You know, it's a weird thing because yes, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And then the best thing you'll ever do, you know, and it's definitely front loaded with the hard part. And then it gets into these really amazing times when you're just watching these little humans that you created become humans and you to like witness that. So
yeah,
I think it's worth it, but it is like, you have to go into it knowing it's going to be really, really hard in the beginning and eventually it'll be worth it. I think people always say, you know, it gets better. And you're just like, okay, if it's not better by like midnight, then I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's like, you're not helpful. I haven't slept or bathed in 2 weeks. Like, I don't want to hear about it getting better right now. It's not awesome. So it does get better though, as cliche as that sounds.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about it, it seems to me from the outside looking in, is like, you never get a break. Like when you go to work for 40 to 60 hours a week, whatever it is. And then the other hours of the week, you get to like, just not even worry about work. But when you have a kid, there's no off time. Like you're constantly thinking about him. You're constantly doing stuff for him and all that kind of stuff. It just, it seems like a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. That's why I always say the partners, maybe if there's somebody staying home and someone going to work, the one going to work is always like, oh, I got to go to work and I got to come home. And being home with that baby the whole time is so much more exhausting than going to work. Like I used to love, we would have a sitter 3 days a week and I'd just be like, here you go. And I get like, you know, 6 hours to work and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But it's just time to just sort of decompress. And I do think one of the biggest parts is the consciousness of that other human constantly. That's a huge thing to carry around with you, is that you can't really prepare for that. You know,
like
you're just sort of always thinking about them and if they're okay and their well-being. I don't know what I'm going to do when they're like in college or even in high school. My friends and I from high school were like, yeah, they're not ever leaving the house because of the amount of crap, the stuff we got into. I'm like, nope, they're not leaving the house. Like it just, that's going to be super hard when they're outside of your reach, you know?
But we've been watching Euphoria lately, and that's all I can think about the entire time. It's like, man, these parents don't even know what their kids are up to. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's a whole nother, like,
Nother book. No one tells you about high schoolers.
Yeah, that's like just a whole nother level because they're just sort of outside of your ability to hold and keep safe, you know? So that's scary.
Well, I've got a question for you. So Kaylin mentioned it a little bit earlier about sex after birth. Do you mention that in your book at all? Like when you feel is like a good time? I mean, obviously, like there's a lot of conversations to be had around that. But is there like a general rule of thumb for that?
I think there's a general like medical time that you're supposed to wait. I think it's 6 weeks or something like that. I mean, it probably depends on whether you have a C-section or natural birth. Really, it's up to the woman because
for sure
there's a huge part of especially when you're breastfeeding, but even after you breastfeed, the toddler stages, you have these humans on you, like they just are on you all the time. It's a weird, even like, you know, I don't know how big your dog is, but you know, like my dog, my little lap dog, I'd sit down and it would like sit on me sometimes, it would like, you know, lick your face, something like that. But kids will just come up and just, they're just like this all, and they're constantly touching you. And then you miss it when they stop doing that, you know, when they don't want you to hug them and you're just like, oh. But women can get to a point at the end of the day where they're very touched out and they're like, do not come near me. And it has nothing to do with you. It's just, oh my God, if another human touches me today, I'm going to lose my mind. So it's really about sort of navigating her and not making her feel like you're pressuring her. And you'll probably get a lot farther if you give her space and like be very attentive to knowing that that's what she's dealing with. And you're probably dealing with it too. You know, there's something about like, put the baby down and you're just like, oh. So yeah, I don't think there's any one right answer, but I do think it's important to stay connected, you know, and that you can start to really disconnect because you're just so tired. And at the end of the day, that's sometimes doesn't be, it's not a priority because you're just like, I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really, it has to be a conscious effort between the two of you to stay connected. Sometimes that's just date night, you know, sometimes it's not sex. Sometimes it has to start with like the two of you leaving the baby with someone and going and just having a conversation and not talking about the baby, not talking about the baby's poop, not talking about anything, just like, just talking to each other like humans, like you used to do, you know?
Right, right. I think, yeah, it really just boils down to communication every step of the way, it sounds like. Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so bummed that Jared wasn't here because he could have benefited and he will benefit because he's going to listen back to this on Spotify, on iTunes, or wherever he gets his podcasts. But he's going to tune in. He's going to learn a lot from you. If you want to learn more from Dawn Dayis, be sure to check out her book, The Shit No One Tells You. And your sequel to that, which is, oh, what is the name of the sequel to that?
Well, there's Shit No One Tells You About Pregnancy, Shit No One Tells You About Toddlers, and Shit No One tells you about Baby Number Two. I stopped at two. I don't recommend more than that.
I mean, it sounds like it's only been 6 years, so there still might be a number three at some point, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. You never know what can happen.
Before we say goodbye to you, do you just have one piece of advice for the listeners, like one general piece of advice? It can be super general. It can be specific, whatever you want. Just one piece of advice, like parting words.
I think the thing that people connect with my books is that it's just honest that it's really hard. And I think, you know, you're told that this is this little miracle that you're bringing home, and you feel really bad if you're looking at this miracle and you're like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. It's just the hardest thing I've ever done. And my life has been blown up. And that's all okay to think, you know, it's okay if it's hard. It's supposed to be hard, but doing it right, it's very, very hard. So I think that it's beneficial to everyone to know that it's going to get better, but it's going to be really hard, and it's hard for all of us.
Well, that's great advice. I'll tell you what though, Don, the very first book of yours I'm going to pick up is How to Run It. The Shit That No One Tells You About Running a Marathon, instead of The Shit That No One Tells You About Everything Else. So I think I'll run a marathon before any other stuff happens.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Do that first. I highly recommend doing that instead of having a baby.
Hopefully. Thank you so much for joining us again. For the listeners out there, check her out, Dawn Dayis, and check out her. It sounds like you got like so many books, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more from you coming down the line. So appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for imparting all your wisdom on us.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. See ya.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at two locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.